Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Tzadi Ches. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 13 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadi Ches. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Hoya Kore Barosh Hagag, and you'll notice the Mishnah had mentioned that if one was reading from a scroll on a rooftop and it rolled out of his hand, so the Mishnah and the Tanakhama had mentioned that if it rolls to a point that it's not within 10 tefachim of the ground, you can roll it back. However, if it rolls to a point where the end reaches within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Rishus HaRabim, then flip it over on its flip over the writing so the writing is face down. In other words, you cannot roll it back. So our Gemara continues. We should maybe note on the side under our nosei, our topic heading, we've written Hafichas Kisvei Akodesh Al Paneihem, the flipping over of holy writings, of holy scrolls with the writing face down. Im, number one, im mutter, is that allowed? And number two, Loma lo gululo etzlo b'chazora, why can't he roll it back even if the end has reached within 10 tefachim of the ground, but it didn't come to a standstill, it's simply dangling, it didn't come to rest on something, didn't come to rest certainly not on the floor of the Rishus HaRabim, and it doesn't seem to be resting on anything. So being that it hasn't come to rest, there isn't even an Isur Derabbanan in rolling it back. There is would be what we call total heter. If it had come to a point of resting, then we would say that picking it up from there, have the whole thing rolled to that point, so that would be an akira, picking up something from a point of hanocha, from a point of it having come to rest. But here it hasn't even come to rest, therefore it's dangling, and as a result there isn't even an isur derabbanan to enter into the discussion. So let's see the Gemara. Umi shari. First of all, is it mutter to flip over a holy writing face down? V'hotanya, we have the following source. Kosvei Sforim Tefillin Mezuzos, people who scribes, who write scrolls and write tefillin and mezuzos, lo hitiru lehem lahafoch yiriyo al paneha. Let us say, as a scribe, you are worried that it would be that the dust that's found in the atmosphere would accumulate on the freshly written documents or holy documents, the scrolls, tefillin or mezuzos, and it will ruin them. So this source says they did not give a heter, they don't give permission for flipping it over with writing face down. Ela pore solel es habegen, the only allowance we give you to protect that which was written is by spreading a cloth over it. So the Gemara answers, Hasam Efshar, there in the case of the Brisa we just read, so he had a cloth to spread over, and that would protect it. Hacha, in the case of the Mishnah, Lo Efshar, he doesn't have a cloth. Lo Apich Ika Bizayon Kisvei HaKodesh Tvei, and if we don't allow him to flip it over face down, having it face up, dangling into the area of the Rishus HaRabim, is even a greater disgrace. So, in order to minimize the disgrace with your available options, all that he can do is to flip it over face down. Hofcho alaksav. So the Gemara asks, why can't he roll it back even if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground? V'halo noch. It didn't come to a standstill. It didn't come to resting on something. True, it is standing still, but it's dangling. It hasn't come to a point of hanocha. And as far as the isur of Tiltul Shabbos is concerned, you have to have an Akira and a Hanocha. That means picking something up and a subsequent placing it down on a surface. And the idea of Akira, of picking something up, doesn't exist unless you're picking up something from a situation where it has come to resting on something. So you're picking up from a state of Hanocha. But in the case of something dangling, you don't even have that. So there, the level of prohibition here is non-existent. You don't even have an Isur D'Rabbanan to speak about. Omar Rava, the Kaisel Meshupa. Here we're talking about a wall that is Meshupa. Meshupa literally means sloping, but for our purposes, at the bottom of this wall, there is some type of protrusion from the wall. Rashi says at the very end, the kivan de bolet lamata, since it's sticking out at the bottom, noch al blitasa, this scroll, the end of the scroll, has come to a point of hanocha at the bottom of the wall, within 10 tfachim of the ground. Therefore, since it's at a state of Hanocha and it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, so all we will allow you is flip it over face down. Omale Abaye. Abaye addresses Rava and says, "B'mai ukimto lemasnisin, how have you set up the Mishnah? B'kaiso Mishupa, with a sloping wall. Emo Seifa." Let's continue reading the Mishnah, and it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Eino Mesulok Min Horetz Elo Mloi Hachut Gololo Etzlo. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if it's a hair's breadth from the floor, you can roll it back to where you are. Yeah, but V'hanochle, but has it not come to a state of Hanocha? And yet, Rabbi Yehuda's description doesn't seem to say that. It seems to be dangling a hair's breadth from the ground. But how can that be when it's come to a rest, it's come to a point of stopping on the protrusion? The Gemara explains, the Mishnah is terse, and thusly we really should understand it. Bamed v'mamurim, when do we say, hoifchoi al haksav? The Koisel Meshupa. That's when the wall has a bulge, something protruding at the bottom. Avol the Koisel Shena Meshupa. However, with a wall that's straight vertical wall, a 90 degree angle, Lamalo Mishlosha Gololo Etzlo. If it's the end that's rolled out of your hands is more than three tefachim from the ground, so you can roll it back to where you are. Lamato mishlosha hofcho alaksav. If it's within three tefachim of the ground, so then all you can do to prevent the disgrace is flip it over with the writing face down. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Eino Mesuluk Min Oretz. Rabbi Yehuda said, even if it's within a hair's breadth of the ground, you can roll it back. And why is that? Deboinon Hanocha Agabi Mashihu. In order for something to be considered at a state of rest, it has to come to a state of rest on something, on a Mashihu, as opposed to something that's merely dangling. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's merely dangling. You can still roll it back. The Elohal di Omar Rava. What about that which Rava says? Toich shloisha l'rabbonan tzorich hanocha. If something is within three tefachim of the ground, according to the Rabbonan, and here the Gemara is referring to a machloikis between the Rabbonan and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that if you throw something from a private domain to another private domain over a public domain, and it flies over the Rishus HaRabim within 10 tefachim of the ground, so there is a shita. The shita of Rabbi Akiva is Kluta Kami Shehun Chodamya, that once it's within the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, it's considered as if it's caught there, and hence throwing from a Rishus HaYochid via the Rishus HaRabim into another Rishus HaYochid, one would be in violation of going from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim. The Chachomim don't say that. Being that that's the case, what did the Chachomim say about throwing something from a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid and it flies over the Rishus HaRabim within 3 tefachim of the ground? So the Chachomim will tell you, and that's what Rava is saying, that even within 3 tefachim of the ground, even though in general within 3 tefachim we apply a concept of lovud, over here the Chachomim will say it's not considered as if it's come to a state of rest unless it lands on something. Regarding Rava's statement, the Gemara questions, Lemo Kitanoi Omro Lishmaitzi. Should we say that Rava's description of the Rabbonon, that within 3 tefachim, something is not considered, 3 tefachim of the ground, it's not considered at a state of Hanocha unless it actually lands on something, would this then be a Machloikes Tanoim? Now, how do we set Rava's statement up as a machlokes tanoim? So we look in Rashi. Neimo kitanoi omro lishmaitze, daho tanakamo. We see the tanakamo in our Mishnah that says afilu ki loy noch nami, even in a case where something is dangling, gozar lemato mishlosha, he makes a gzera in the case of it, the end of the scroll rolling to within 3 tefachim, mishum dilma zimnin de'ein ogdo biyodo, in anticipation of a case where the other end doesn't remain in your hands. So the Tanakama is machmir, we will say, machmir, regarding a case of within 3 tefachim of the ground, even when it's not resting on something. Ularava ki ein ogdo biyodo nami ki hai gavna dolonoch. According to Rava, even if it's not in your hand, under those circumstances where it's not at a state of hanocha, lo mechayev im koltoi veherziro kodem shenoch. Let's say the entire scroll fell out of your hands, and it was plummeting downwards, and it reached a point within 3 tefachim of the ground, and you grabbed it before it fell onto the Rishus HaRabim. According to Rava, there would be no problem in taking it back to where you are. Whereas according to the Tanakama, that would be a problem. As you saw that even if only one end is dangling, but within 3 tefachim, you got to flip it over Hofchon al Aksav, showing you that in the case that the whole thing would roll out of your hands within 3 tefachim and you caught it before it landed, that would already be an iser mamish, a real iser to take it back up, because that would be its hanocha, even though it didn't land on anything. So it turned out that Rava's halacha of toich shloisha needs hanocha mashu is really a machlokes tanoim. It's not something that our Tanakama would agree with. The Gemara says, we don't want to set up Rava's statement as a machlokes tanoim. Well, then what about our Tanakama? Ela kula Rebbe Yehuda hi v'chisurim chasra v'hachi kotoni. Rather, our whole Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, and thusly we shall understand things. Bamed v'mumurim b'koisel meshupo. When is it that we say cover it? Cover the scroll whose end rolled out of your hand. That's in a koisel meshupa, where the end comes to a hanocha mamish. Avo b'koisel shena meshupa, if it's a sheer wall, that's a straight 90 degree straight wall, afilu pochus mishloisha tvachim, even if it comes to within three tvachim of the ground, goyloloi etzlo, you can roll it back to where you are. Shereb Yehuda omer, afilu eno mesuluk minoretz ela melo hachut, goylolo etzlo. And here you can see how the whole Mishnah really is Rebbe Yehuda, and there's no reference to a shitas chachomim that would have then made Rebbe Rova's comment into a machlokis tanoim. Rather, the whole Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. My taima, why is it that as long as it's mesuluk minoretz, you can roll it back? Deboinon hanocho algabi mashu. That in order to prevent one from being allowed to roll it back, would have to come to a standstill, resting on something, as opposed to dangling in the air, even if it's dangling very close to the floor. We now encounter a new Mishnah, which you can see is illustrated on page 215 in the Pirush Chai, illustration 17. What do we see there? We see a window, and we see a platform, a little balcony extending from the window. The Mishnah. Ziz shelifnei chalon, nosin olav v'notlin mimeno b'shabbos. This little ziz, this protrusion or platform extending from the window, attached to the wall, it is 10 tfachim off the ground, and it has a width of 4 tfachim, Rashi says. You can people living off in that second story, what Rashi calls the Bnei Aliyah, they can place things on it and take things off of it into their house. The Gemara. Hai ziz demapik lehecha. This platform is sticking out over what area? Ilemo demapik lurushus harabim. If it's extending above a public thoroughfare, why is the Mishnah allowing the use of this shelf? Is there no fear that maybe that which you placed on it would fall into the public thoroughfare and you'll come and you'll forget yourself and come pick it up from the Rishus Rabbanan and bring it back inside, and that would be an Isur d'oraisa of going from a public thoroughfare to a private domain? Elo, rather we must say demapik l'rishus hayochid, that the shelf is extending over a courtyard to a chotzer. Well, then, pshita, then it's obvious. I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that you can place things on a shelf extending from a window, from a Rishus HaYochid, and over a Rishus HaYochid. Omar Abaye, Lo'olam Demapik Rishus Harabim. In fact, the shelf is extending over a public thoroughfare. Umay Noisin Olav Dikotoni. What does the Mishnah mean when it gives you this allowance of placing things on it? Answer, Kalim Hanishborim. Vessels, earthenware vessels, that if they fall groundwards, they'll smash, and there's hence no fear of your picking them up and bringing them back in. Tanyo Nami Hochi, and we have a Tanaic source, a Brisa, to support this explanation. Ziz Shelifnei Hachalon, Ayotzi Lushus Haravim, a shelf extending from a window over a public thoroughfare. Nosin olov kyoros vikosos kitonios utsufios. One can place on it bowls and cups and other types of vessels that, if they were to fall out, fall off. These are vessels that one assumes are made of earthenware, of cheres. If they fall, they'll smash. Umishtamish b'chol hakoisel ad asora atachtonim. And the people in this aliyah, this attic, have a right to use the wall and the protrusions from the wall till a height of 10 tefachim above the ground. So the allowance, the permission that these people in the aliyah have extends over the those shelves extending from the wall, as long as they are more than 10 tefachim from the ground. V'im yesh ziz echod lemato mimenu. Let us say you have one shelf extending from the window and then another shelf below it. However, it's still more than 10 tefachim from the ground. Mishtamish bo, you can use that lower shelf. Ube'elyon ein mishtamish bo elo keneged chalono. The upper shelf, you can't use the entire shelf other than that which is extending from the window. other than that part opposite the window. Hai ziz hechidomi, this upper shelf that's extending from the window. What are the circumstances concerning it? What are the details? E de les be arbo'o, if it doesn't have a 4x4 tefach dimension, afilu keneged halono nami lo yishtamesh, and even the area opposite your window, you should not be allowed to use it. Now, it's true, those of you who are well-versed in Hilchus Shabbos know that such a thing would be classified as a mokum ptur, and a mokum ptur, generally speaking, is something that one is allowed to use. However, Rashi says that since it's so narrow, it's very likely something you place on it will fall off, and it will appear as if you're throwing things directly into the public thoroughfare, the public domain. And hence, if it's less than 4 tvachim, even the area opposite the window should not be allowed to be used. The is be arbo, if this shelf has a 4 tefach width to it, bekulei hakosel l'shtamish, so why not be allowed to use the shelf along the entire wall, even the area beyond that which is opposite the window? Omar Abaye. So Abaye explains, and we should be making reference to illustration 20. Tachton de is be arbo. The lower shelf has a 4 tefach width to it. And we said regarding that, you can use, the people in the aliyah, the upper story, can use the entire length of that shelf. The elyon les be arbo, the chalon mashlimoso le arbo. The upper shelf is quite narrow. However, the area opposite the window, because the window has a windowsill, it has its own thickness to it, the window frame, that completes the 4 tefach dimension. Therefore, we say, keneged chalon mishtamish, the area opposite the chalon where you have a width of 4, he can use that, place things on that. And that's based on a concept, the chore chalon, who it's like an extension of the chalon. It's an extension of the window. However, the high gisot on either side, usser, it's narrow there, and therefore he cannot use that. The next Mishnah also will be best understood by having illustration 21 available. You can see on page 216 in the Pirush Chai. What do we see there? We see a person in a private domain bending over, picking something up from a public domain and moving it along the public domain. The Mishnah, Omeid Adam Bershus HaYochid Umetaltel Bershus HaRabim. A person can stand in a private domain, bend over, and move something along the Rishus HaRabim, and also pick it up at one point in the Rishus HaRabim and place it down, further along, place it back down on the ground. And likewise, the other way around. A person could stand in the public domain and move something in a private domain. And this is allowed provided that he does not move it more than 4 amos. Now you can see this illustrated in 21, where you see a key on the floor, he picks it up, can move it along the Rishus HaRabim, provided he doesn't move it more than 4 amos. And the chiddush of this Mishnah is that you can do that, and we don't make a gzera, we don't impose a restriction for fear of a restriction that would have been the result of our fear of his bringing the key to where he is, from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYochin. We're not fearful of that. We allow him to move it along the Rishus HaRabim as long as he doesn't move it more than 4 amos. Lo yamod adam b'rshus hayochid v'yashtin b'rshus harabim. A person should not stand in a private domain and urinate into a public domain. That's a problem of being motzi b'rshus hayochid to b'rshus harabim. Likewise, b'rshus harabim v'yashtin b'rshus hayochid. He shouldn't stand in a public thoroughfare and urinate into a private domain. V'chein lo yizroth, lo yoruk. Lo yoruk means he shouldn't throw thing. He shouldn't expectorate. He shouldn't spit from one domain into another. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Mishen Nitlash Roko Befiv Lo Yahalech Arba Amos Ach Yoruk. Rabbi Yehuda says that if one is walking along and he feels his saliva has literally detached itself inside one's mouth. So he feels like he feels a sense of his saliva having accumulated in his mouth. He should not walk more than four amos. He should stop and spit out the accumulated saliva before he continues walking. Masni le Rav Chinuna bar Shamia lechia bar Rav kamei de Rav. So you have Rav Chinuna teaching a Tanaic source, teaching over his version, we'll say, of our Mishnah to the son of Rav in the presence of Rav. And what version does he teach over? Now, bear note that we have a star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and you can align this with the star above in the Mishnah, along the side of the Mishnah. What does his version say? Lo yamod adam birshus hayochid umetaltel birshus harabim. Contrast this with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Omeid adam birshus hayochid umetaltel birshus harabim. The Mishnah is lenient, and he is teaching over some version of stringency. Omar Le, Rav says, Shafkis Rabbonon v'avdis k'Rabbi Meir, have you abandoned the Rabbonon, namely the opinion featured in our Mishnah, the opinion of leniency, and adopted the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who we know from that which is said later in the Perek, Rabbi Meir makes gzeros, Rabbi Meir imposes restrictions. This is something taught later in the Perek, and that would translate itself over here. Don't move something while you're standing in the Rishus HaYochid. Don't move something along the Rishus HaRabim, because you might bring the item from the Rishus HaRabim into where you are, moving it from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. So Rav is trying to understand, why are you, that's Rav Chinuna, why is he choosing to accept Rabbi Meir over the Rabbanan? The Gemara continues at the top of Sadi Tes Amud Aleph. Who Savar? That's Rav Chinuna figured me the Seifa, Rabbi Meir, from the fact that the Mishnah that appears on Daf Kuf Aleph is in accordance with Rabbi Meir. Reisha Nami, the Mishnah, our Mishnah here on Sadi Ches Amud Beis, Nami Rabbi Meir. So since the end is Rabbi Meir, the beginning must also be according to Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah, which speaks about a person in one domain and the item in the other domain, velohi. But this reasoning is not correct. Seifa, Rabbi Meir, veresha, Rabbonon. The Seifa, true, that is Rabbi Meir who imposes a restriction. However, the Resha, our Mishnah, is not in accordance with Rabbi Meir. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com.